This is Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. It covers a wide variety of guests and topics. If you have any comments or suggestions for the program, please contact Bridget. That's B-R-I-G-I-D, Bridget at CatholicRadioIndy.org, or call us at 317-870-8400. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. This is Faith in Action on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is Bridget Ayer.
Hello. Great to be with you, Jim. Hello, everyone. Thanks for being with us today.
And Bridget, we've got a great program lined up, but let's kick things off with a prayer here. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day and for the precious gifts of life and health. Thank you for my family and friends and my faith in you and the fact we live in the United States of America. Please bless and protect each member of our family and protect us from all harm and serious illness, from bullying, addiction, abuse, and violence of all kinds. And through the cross and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, please one day welcome each of us into your holy kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
And we are getting close to Christmas.
We are.
So we want to remind you, some of you people will have had your Christmas shopping done since October, maybe. Others of us should be starting it pretty soon now. But no matter where you fall on that Christmas shopping spectrum, maybe some of your shopping will be done online. Maybe some of your shopping will be done through Amazon. Now, we're not telling you where to shop, how to shop, or anything like that. But if you fall into that category, you'll be buying things online through Amazon, you could do us a big favor if you would first go to Amazon Smile or smile.amazon. If you just Google that, you'll get right to it. And at that site, they're merely going to ask you what charity you want to support. And if you put Catholic Radio Indy, all three words, Catholic Radio Indy, you do that one time, that's all you do. Then every time you buy almost anything on Amazon, we get a small percentage. And especially this time of the year, we've got a lot of listeners, a lot of shopping done, and we'll get a very nice check from Amazon, and it won't cost you anything. It won't cost us anything. So again, smile.amazon or amazon.smile, either way, and choose Catholic Radio Indy, I-N-D-Y, Catholic Radio Indy as your charity. And hey, we thank you a bunch.
It's awesome. It's awesome. And I haven't gotten my Christmas shopping done or, well, started what I was going to say, but that's how it is. All right. Well, we have got.
We've lost some of our gifts already. You know, you buy them early and hide them so people won't find them. And a year or two later, you do find them.
Well, it's great that we're talking about gift giving because today, our guest today is an award-winning Catholic author, and we're going to be talking about some of her books. Our guest today is Claudia Cangilla McAdam, and she is her works are faith-based works of historical fiction, and Claudia actually was recently selected as an extra to be in the drama series The Chosen, and I'm sure our audience is familiar with that. And she's going to be here. She is here with us today to tell us all about it. Welcome, Claudia, to Faith in Action.
Thank you for having me. It's lovely to be with you all.
Well, I have a whole bunch of friends who have told me to watch The Chosen. They're watching it. They think, oh, have you watching it? You know, and they want to talk about the show itself. But for those in our audience who may not be familiar with The Chosen, could you talk about the series itself?
Sure. The Chosen is the first ever multi-season television drama about Jesus and his apostles. And it's produced completely outside of the Hollywood system. It's independently funded, so no big studios behind it or network or anything like that. And it's absolutely free to watch. It's the highest crowd-funded Christian media project of all time. And it's funded by people who love it and watch it and support it and who pay it forward so that others can watch the series. It's expected to be a seven-season series. Seven is a perfect biblical number, the number of the covenant, and two seasons have already aired. The third season begins here at the end of 2022 and runs into 2023. And it's seen around the world. Tens of millions of people have viewed it. It is in, I think, over 100 countries and dubbed into dozens of languages, foreign languages. So people are loving it around the world. And if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, it's really interesting. The critics give it 100% rating.
Wow.
Viewers give it 99%. But I'd give it 110%.
Wow. Now, is it a documentary type program or is it more of a drama type program? What is it?
It's not a documentary. It's as if you are there with Jesus. It's, you know, historical fiction in that, yes, the series is representing the life of Jesus and his apostles, but we're getting these backstories on the apostles, on what their experiences may have been before they met Jesus, and then what life was like with him on the road. And we see the big miracles and then the little smaller touching scenes. And some of the insights are really incredibly deep. And you can watch it, you know, on any level, just pure entertainment. Or if you really know Scripture and you love Scripture, you can see some really hidden gems that come out in this series. It's I challenge anyone who has not seen it to just try to watch just one episode. It's like Lay's potato chips. You can't watch just one.
Now, when you're talking about watching, are you talking about a cable TV network or streaming or on demand or how?
The best way to be able to know how to watch The Chosen is to go to thechosen.tv. They have an app you can download. You can watch it on any device that you've got. It airs on YouTube, Peacock. There's different places where you can watch it for free. And it's easy to do and well worth the couple minutes it takes to download the app or to research how to watch it.
We're talking with Claudia Cangillo McAdams. She is a Catholic award-winning author of kids and teens books. And you were selected to be an extra in The Chosen. Give us the background. How did you happen to get that, and where did you film or anything like that?
And tell us about your character.
Yeah, and your family was in it too, right? So,
it was a great experience. A little over a year ago, in one of the fundraising appeals that The Chosen gave, they said, look, people pay it forward. That's how we fund the program. If anyone would pay it forward at a particular rate during the next 30, 60 days, some time frame, you will have the opportunity to come and be an extra in the filming of the episode, The Feeding of the 5,000. So I thought, I would love to do this. They film in Midlothian, Texas, which is south of Dallas. So in Texas, I live in Colorado, but I thought, you know, this is a trip I would be willing to make. So yes, I paid it forward, and they said, and if you would like to bring family members for just a small, small, small amount more, because we have to cover lunch and transportation costs, you know, on the set and that type of thing, you can bring family members. So I said to my husband, how about it? Would you come with me? Can we bring our two oldest grandchildren their family also loves The Chosen? And our grandson is 14 and our granddaughter was 11 at the time. And so the four of us had the opportunity to go in the first week of June this year in record-setting heat and high humidity to Central Texas to film this episode. And I got to tell you, it wasn't just us, and it wasn't just 4,999 other people. There were approximately 12,000 individuals, men, women, and children, who came from all 50 states and 36 foreign countries to be extras. And The Chosen divided us up into different groups, and so we had different filming segments. So all of us aren't there at one time, but there were, you know, three or four big groups at a time that would go and film.
Now, when you watch that episode, do you look really carefully and say, I think that's me back in the back row over there, third one in?
At least we know where we were sitting. But it's like trying to find a particular grain of sand on the beach. I don't think that's going to happen. But the trailer is out for season 3, and I've watched that for the whole season. And the episode, Feeding of the 5,000, is actually going to be episode 7 and 8, the tail end of season 3. But in the trailer, there's some scenes from The Feeding of the 5,000, and I know people who were there are like, grabbing screenshots and saying, "Yeah, I found our family," and they're circling, you know, "Where's Waldo?"
That is hilarious. Well, I get this email from Claudia, and you know, this time of year I expect, you know, that you have some new releases, and we try to do some of our Catholic authors and highlight those at Christmas for people wanting to buy books for their family. And I get this picture of you, you know, and your family dressed in this, you know, the feeding of the 5,000 garb, so to speak. And I just cracked up because I know what you look like, and you looked really great. If we can, I know we have that picture. Maybe we'll put it on our social media if you're okay with us doing that when we air the show. I mean, it was great. I'm like, oh my gosh, you look so good. You really played the part well, I have to say. Go ahead.
I was going to say, we had to provide our own costumes. So, you know, that, and my husband grew out his beard because they said, "Hey, look, if you want to have a chance of being on camera, you better look like you belong in the first century." So he grew out his beard, which he'd never done before. And as soon as we got back to the hotel after our day of shooting, he shaved it off right away. But I thought it looked great. And yet you couldn't have any, you know, tattoos or unusual piercings, could not wear your wedding ring or glasses or, you know, it had to be very first century authentic.
Well, what's really interesting is that the type of genre that you write is historical fiction. So I really thought that that was such a beautiful opportunity for you to really be, you know, in a performance or a drama series that really does bring that to life.
You're right. You know, I love sacred scripture, and I love imagining what would it have been like if I had lived at that time and had been able to meet Jesus. And so when I write my books, my main characters are generally the ages of my readership. So when I write a picture book, my main characters will be kids, and they'll be living at the time of Jesus and interacting with him in some way. And this just took it one step further. Rather than just having to use my imagination, totally in my imagination, I got to actually be physically there in a setting where it was very much like what it must have been like for those people 2,000 years ago.
Before we take a break, can you let our listeners know again how they can watch The Chosen? I have to say that I did start watching it for the first time, did not know what to expect, only that a lot of people said it was great. And it really, you do get hooked. It's like Lay's potato chips. You can't, you know, just eat one. You want to keep watching. So where can people watch it?
If you go to thechosen.tv, you can just start watching right there on your computer right at that moment if you want, or download the app from them, or watch on YouTube. So go to thechosen.tv, and all the information you need will be right there.
Now, is this something, The Chosen, is that something that you need to watch from episode one, then two, then three, or can you, is any episode enjoyable or watchable by on its own?
I would say yes, both. You can pick up any episode and just jump in and start watching and thoroughly enjoy it, but it builds on itself. So I would recommend going to the beginning and starting to watch, because you understand the backgrounds of these people. So if you jumped in on season three and you see all the apostles are assembled by then, that's great. But if you know from where each of them has come, it would mean so much more. And their backstories are really incredible and touching and makes you think, oh yeah, I can see why Peter was this way, or I see now why Matthew, the tax collector, was the way he was. I think it really just gives you more to think about. There's more meat there.
Absolutely. Well, we're talking with Claudia Cangela McAdam. She is an award-winning Catholic author. Before we go on break, I want to give you her website. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of her books. So it's ClaudiaMcAdam.com. So stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
You're listening to Catholic Radio Indy, converting the culture to Christ through radio, featuring 100% Catholic programming 24/7. Do your friends a favor. Tell them about Catholic Radio Indy.
Alexa, what's the weather forecast for today?
Alexa, what time is the Colts game today?
Alexa, remind me to pick up the dry cleaning tomorrow.
Has Alexa become a part of your daily routine? Then make sure that routine includes Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Quick, easy access to Catholic programming 24/7. Just say, Alexa, play Catholic Radio Indy.
Catholic Radio Indy. it's overwhelming how good I feel listening to it.
It is so good. You guys are such a blessing.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Jim Ganley and I are in the studio. I'm talking with Claudia Cangilla McAdams. She is a Catholic award-winning author of kids and teen books.
And movie star.
And movie star. I forgot about that. We got to add that to her credential. She was recently an extra in drama series The Chosen, which is a very popular series. And you wanted to talk a little bit more about maybe the interaction with the character that played Jesus.
The whole experience of doing this filming of the Feeding of the 5,000 was really incredible from my perspective as an extra. The other actors who weren't even in the scene that we were filming were standing around watching. They were so impressed with the crowd. And I mean, you were close enough where you could just say to them, hey, hi, love your work. You know, they were that close to us. And Jonathan Rumi, the actor who plays Jesus, is a devout Catholic. And he, at one point in a break in the action, he got out his cell phone and took pictures of the crowd. So we were taking pictures of him during breaks, and he was taking pictures of us. And then he got a microphone, and he addressed the group and told us how much he appreciated everybody being there and told us about how he felt his being chosen to play Jesus was a miraculous event in his life, something that happened at a really low point personally and career-wise for him. And he gave people a lot of hope that no matter what you're facing, there is hope out there. The filming lasted 2 days. We were on set for one day from 2:30 till 8 p.m. That was our segment. And the next day they filmed late into the night, about 10:30 at night they wrapped. And when they said cut for the final time, Jonathan Rumi picked up the microphone and said, thank you all so much for being here. If it's okay with you, I would like to pray the Our Father in Aramaic for you. And everybody's like, sure. And he started off by blessing himself with the sign of the cross. What a beautiful testament to his Catholic faith. And then he prayed the prayer in Aramaic and blessed himself at the end, and that was it. And I've got that video of him doing that on my website, so if anybody wants to see that, ClaudiaMcAdam.com. I've got a whole article about the experience with videos and pictures, and it's kind of a fun little journey.
Now, I got to ask you, have you done a book with that scene in it? Because if not, I'm guessing your experience is going to kind of dovetail into a book if you haven't. I know you have your book about the Real Presence.
Right. The Real Presence is about the Jesus's discourse in the temple in Capernaum on the bread of life, he says, and then on to the Last Supper with these two young characters who are the main characters. The book that follows that will come out in the spring is called A Miracle for Micah. And the Ascension Press, who published The Real Presence, is also publishing that book. And that book actually ends at the feeding of the 5,000.
I had a feeling you were going to work that in there at some point. You know, I when I was looking at your books, and you really have, I mean, how many do you have? Like, close to 20? I mean, you have a lot of books.
Yeah, 24, something like that.
Yeah. I noticed that you have some for young adults or teens. Is right. Beckoning, is that one of them?
It is. That book came out about a few months ago. It's a novel, and it tells the story kind of in two ways. It's a modern-day story, and that the main character is a non-Catholic in a Catholic school. She's not even a Christian. Her family goes through something really traumatic, and her dad has a miraculous healing on Good Friday and has an immediate conversion to Christ, and that disrupts the whole family. She doesn't know how to deal with that. So her religion teacher at school says, why don't you try going to the Adoration Chapel and engaging in Ignatian contemplation, opening up scripture and imagining yourself being there, which she does. And then we're taking on a journey of what she imagines her life in Jerusalem as being. And she's the daughter of the centurion who crucifies Christ. And it's her story of coming to faith by what she lives through after the crucifixion, through the resurrection, and how she's a Gentile in that story, and how she comes to faith through interactions with her friends and some of the apostles. And it's a pretty long but deep story.
Well, I want you to talk a little bit about your methodology, because I really believe that you know, in seeing your books, they really are filling a niche for our culture right now, for our, you know, to form our young people, their hearts and their minds in a very authentically Catholic way. So you use what's called Ignatian spirituality. Talk a little bit about that, and then how that, and you did allude to that a little bit in that story of the beckoning, of explaining how that works.
Right. St. Ignatius of Loyola developed a method of contemplation where you can experience what you're reading. So you open the gospel and you use your senses, your eyes, your ears, your nose, you know, your taste, your feel, to put yourself in that story and imagine what would it be like if you were one of the characters that's mentioned, or somebody who's just passing by while Jesus maybe is performing a miracle. And St. Ignatius said that God can use our imagination to converse with us. And we know children in particular are great at using their imagination. I mean, who hasn't had a kid find a stick out in the yard and come and brandish it as a sword and want a sword fight with you? Or, you know, or I have a granddaughter who wants to play the doctor, and you're the sick baby, and she gives me pretend medicine. I mean, mm-hmm. This is how children learn. And an author by the name of Mary Jo Putney said that what one loves in childhood stays in the heart forever. And my goal is fall in love with Jesus, kids. If you fall in love with him as a child, you're going to love him forever. Mm-hmm. And what more can you want out of life? That is our goal. That's the reason for being here.
Sure. Claudia, you said you've written in the neighborhood of 24 books. What's been your bestseller so far?
Oh, gosh. You know, that's hard to say. I know I've, like, one book sold out. It's 6,000 run first printing in 6 weeks. So that,
wow.
That was nice.
Wow.
I mean, some books do really well right up front. Some books have longevity. But we talked about Beckoning. The novel I wrote before that, which is called Awakening, was published in 2009. And, you know, books don't always have long legs. They don't have long shelf life. That book is still selling, and I still do classroom visits. There's classrooms who read that book and discuss it, and I'll do a PowerPoint presentation with them about that book. So, you know, that's really a hard question to answer, because they've all done well enough where I've been happy with them. I'm no J.K. Rowling, but, you know, I try.
Well, you do have a Christmas title, and since we're real close to Christmas, I mean, really any of your books would be great for, you know, Christmas gift or birthday or, you know, First Communion or confirmation, as you know, depending on when people are listening to this. But you do have one, the Christmas Light, is that what it's called?
The Christmas Light came out a year ago, and it's the story of the girl who is the daughter of the innkeeper in Bethlehem. So she's having a really bad night. It's cold outside. She's cranky. She's crammed together in the loft with the other children because there's out-of-towners sleeping on the floor downstairs, and she is not happy with her situation. So she creeps downstairs and opens the door to look outside and remembers that a few hours earlier, a couple had knocked on their door and her father had sent them to his stable to spend the night. And she hears the cry of a baby, and she realizes, wow, if I'm cold, that family must really be cold. So she brings them fire for light and warmth, and goes over to the stable, and the Blessed Mother invites her to come closer and meet the baby Jesus. And in that instant, her whole life is transformed. And she goes back to her cold house and doesn't care, snuggles up with her little sister who's been putting her cold feet on her all night long, and is joy-filled with the warmth of that encounter with Jesus.
Talk a little bit about the illustrations. They really are beautiful. Talk about your illustrator. They really do make the book. I mean, it's kind of all together, you know, the words and the pictures that really make a book.
Yeah, you know, it's the author generally doesn't have any say in who the illustrator is. And when you get a good illustrator, they take the story and they interpret it on their own, mm-hmm. the way they see it. And I think especially with the Christmas Light, those illustrations are so saturated and so beautiful and deep and evocative of what the story is. So I have different illustrators for different books, and
okay.
They have different styles, which is really fun to see what they come up with. And I've never been disappointed with any illustrator with the work they've done with my stories.
So what's it been like for you, I guess, to write all these books? You know, is there one in particular that really moved you, or what, anything that you're working on right now that's really, I don't know, maybe stands out besides, you know, more one more than the other?
You know what? I wanted to be a professional writer since age 10, and it's all I've done as an adult professionally. That's the work I've done. I am so blessed. Jesus has taken my work and used it to his benefit. Asking me if I have a favorite book is like saying, do I have a favorite child or grandchild? And the answer is no. I may like one more. You know, people say, what's your favorite book? And I always say, it's the next one. It's the one coming out. You know, I'm always excited about that. So I have two stories coming out next year. One of them I alluded to, A Miracle for Micah from Ascension Press. And then Nephew to the Rescue, Saving St. Paul, will be coming out from Our Sunday Visitor.
And then what was your big takeaway from being an extra in The Chosen? We have a couple minutes left here.
Oh, man. It was what a great opportunity to evangelize for us, our little family, for my husband and I to evangelize our grandchildren.
Yeah, I was just going to ask about that.
They're very faith-filled kids anyway, but they loved the experience. Our granddaughter said to me, you know, Grandma, she's homeschooled, so she says, this should be a school day because we're covering history and religion and movie making and survival skills. And I said, Eleanor, you're right. It is very much like that, and you're learning a lot. And our grandson, who's 14, I mean, he has thanked us. He said, thank you so much for taking me to that. He says, it helps me see the gospel story in a whole new way. And that's what The Chosen does. And so the way our little experience helped us evangelize our little family and our being part of that, the episodes about the feeding of the 5,000, will help evangelize the world, everybody who sees The Chosen across the world.
Well, your books are truly an evangelism tool, and we need those so much in our culture today for our young people. So we greatly appreciate you and all the work that you're doing. And for those who want to get a copy of your book, you can go to ClaudiaMcAdam.com. You can see her in The Chosen as an extra with her husband and grandkids. Claudia, thanks so much for being our guest today.
It's always lovely to be with you both, too. Thank you so much, and God bless you all.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, the program that looks at how ordinary people are putting their faith into action in their everyday lives. Faith in Action is produced by Catholic Radio Indy. This program and all Faith in Action programs can be heard or downloaded as podcasts from CatholicRadioIndy.org. If you have a comment or suggestion for guests or topics for the program, please contact Brigid. That's B-R-I-G-I-D. Brigid@CatholicRadioIndy.org or call us at 317-870-8400. This program has been pre-recorded.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.